Welcome, Chris Michelle. Right?
Yes.
That's it. Is that Michelle in New Orleans?
That would be French.
Yeah.
So yeah, you could tie it to New Orleans, but no. My family is actually from
Montreal,
partly from France.
Okay. I'm going all the.
You
the,
are. You're going all over the place.
All over the place, and I'm trying to stay in on this continent, and you're going nuts. Really, just France.
No. I'm really I'm a mutt from the European area. Yeah.
So. There you go. And you live in Georgia now?
Oh yeah, I'm here in Woodstock.
Okay, and you're from. You went to Illinois, played football, right?
Correct. So I'm originally from Illinois. I lived outside of Chicago and then went to the University of Illinois, moved to St. Louis, lived there for about 12, 13 years, then moved down to Atlanta. And I took a detour and went to Memphis for about 4 years.
There you go.
And then I came back.
That's where my family's from, is Memphis. I've been to St. Louis, too. Do you like Atlanta better than both of them?
Yes. I will say that St. Louis is a nice little big town.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got all the big amenities. You've got the culture. You've got the sports. You've got all the things that you can do.
Baseball. That's it.
And hockey. And
yeah,
they used
right.
to have a football team.
They did.
And they used to have a basketball team, but that was back in the 60s
Long
and 70s.
Time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Spirit.
But, yes.
Spirit.
But yeah, they before they lost the basketball and football, mm-hmm. I mean, they had a lot of. There are a lot of things to do there. There's a lot of culture and there's a lot of things that you can do, the museums and the theater and all that stuff, right? So it's a great city to go and visit and see all that stuff. But there's nothing like Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta is just, it's a southeastern New York, right?
Yep.
I mean, it's a southeastern LA. It's a mosh pit for just people from all over the place. Mm. So
it's a good business town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
I like St. Louis too, and I like Memphis. You know, I don't think I would live in Memphis, and I probably wouldn't live in St. Louis, but I liked visiting them.
Yeah.
But I could certainly see myself living in Chicago for years outside of Chicago because it's more of a Atlanta type city, and I certainly have lived outside of New York for a decent amount of time, and I say decent amount, you know. I was young and it was like 6 months and I was 7 months. That's a long time
a good amount of time to spend in New York and then it's time to go.
Yeah. Of course. But I could see myself buying a condo or a hotel up there or a condo or something up there to go 4 or 5 times a year. I love the city.
Yeah.
It's really nice. So you made your way from Memphis down to Atlanta. What year was that?
So I moved to Atlanta actually right before 9/11 from St. Louis, and then I moved to Memphis in 2008, came back in 2012.
And did you have the same jobs at all those places, or did you switch jobs? And when did you start your consulting business?
I started my consulting business 3 months ago.
Oh, congratulations. There you go.
So, but I've been working on this ever since. I mean, I've been in... So when I moved to Atlanta, shortly after I got here, about 3 years after I moved here, I got into heating and air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been in heating and air for the last 15, 16 years before I started my own business. And that really taught me what I wanted to do. It really showed me that I love the consulting piece, the coaching, the training. You know, I love helping people do what they want to do, further their business and get so much better in what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that came from. So yes, I moved to Memphis to run a heating and air conditioning company, moved back to Atlanta to run another heating and air conditioning company,
mm-hmm.
and worked for a manufacturer for the last couple of years. And now here I am
doing it. Do you find yourself, because you were in that industry, are a lot of your clients the service-based industries?
Initially, yes. That's kind of been my focus because it's who I know, right? And so I know a number of people in that business that need somebody like myself.
Mm.
But I'm not restricted to that, which is kind of cool because, I mean, I can help anybody who has salespeople.
Sure.
Or who has a need for a salesperson.
Mm.
Or even the solopreneurs. I'm finding that even the solopreneurs... These individuals that are running their own businesses, they know their business. They know about marketing. They know about programming. They know about all these other things. They just don't know sales very well. And so they find themselves tripping over themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they get stuck on, well, now what do I do?
Right.
Well, they said no. I guess I walk away. When you say no to a salesperson, they're like, okay, challenge accepted. Moving,
mm-hmm.
you know, let's go a little bit deeper. Let's try a little bit harder, right? And so you have to position it because our natural instinct is to say no to things.
Mm-hmm.
So
100%. I mean, I think that, you know, the way we have a lot of of service-based businesses, kind of the bedrock of what I built this business on. And when I was by myself in, you know, 09, 10, 11, before I took on a partner and we kind of built this thing out. But they need sales help because they're not salespeople at all. You know, you have businesses that have salespeople that work for them, but a one truck heat and air person is not a salesperson.
Typically they're not. Yeah.
You know, there are some. I have a friend that's a heat and or a plumber that he's a sales dude.
Yeah.
Disguised as a plumber. Sorry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, shout out Kevin Long, but he's he runs a Mr. Reuter in Tallahassee, and he's just really good at sales. Yeah. But a lot of times that doesn't translate, you know. So I feel like consultants really can help those service-based businesses out a lot, especially in the 3 to 5 truck below, because hey, how do I take my ticket and make it go up a little bit? How do I sign contracts? You know,
right.
How do I get these people where they have a base of business that they're not just going to go when something else goes wrong, they're going to call another person and come back out here. And that's important.
Yeah. And it's, again, it's getting back to helping people, right? How do you get from the 100,000 to 200 to 300 to 1 million, right? Mm. To the 2.5 to now the 5, right? How do you make that transition between those different pieces? How do you know when to bring on a salesperson?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know when to just keep using the technicians, the plumbers to be your salespeople, right? And when you do that, it's trying to understand those things enough to say, yeah, now it's time that I can bring somebody on as a salesperson and they can start doing this stuff.
Yep.
And it's a difficult transition. And again, I've been around businesses. I've run businesses that were 17 people, right? Mm-hmm. You got a couple of salespeople, you got a bunch of technicians, installers, right? And then some office folks. So it's trying to figure out what makes sense and you know, do I really want to have a 10-person company, right?
Am
I okay with 2 or 3 people, right?
Well, there's that, you know, and this is the question, right? This is always the question is, I have 10 people. I've got one really good sales guy. I make this amount. Well, then the next 5 people, you make less amount probably, you know, maybe.
Maybe.
But maybe not. But a lot of times you grow, you have to step down a little bit before you go up. It's going to be a small step, maybe a big step.
Right.
You got to invest that in. And there's a lot of people who are like, I just like where I am. And that's okay if that's where you want to be.
Well, and then you get into the headaches, right? I mean, more people means more headaches. And it's unfortunately, it's just dealing with people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how comfortable are you dealing with people? So. And again, that's where, and you understand this as a business owner, you get to help people kind of get out of their own way, right? So too often I see owners of businesses, small businesses, they're trying to do everything. And mm-hmm. they're trying to be their own IT person. They're trying to be their own salesperson. They're trying to be their own accounting person, right? They're trying to do all these different things.
It's a train wreck waiting to happen.
Yeah, and they're just burning themselves out because now they're like, well, wait a minute. I could hire so-and-so and pay a little bit of money to do this over here, you know, and manage my sales team or, you know, run my sales or run my marketing or do my IT.
Right.
Because I can't build a website in a day or two, right? I need somebody else to do it. Otherwise, I'm going to be here for the next 3 months building up my own website.
Which is crazy because it doesn't cost a lot to do that anymore.
You know, it doesn't.
It used to, but it doesn't. You can get a basic website for, you know, I would say a really good one for $2,000.
Yeah.
You know, which is, it's just a cost of doing business, save up and buy it and do not waste your time. That's just not what you make money off doing.
Exactly.
Stay to what you're doing. And that's another thing is when do you take the sales out of the technician's hand? Like I said, when do I take the operations out of my salespeople's hands? Cause they still do a lot of their operations.
Sure.
And it's a struggle to go because that person is a way more well-rounded salesperson because they've done those things
mm-hmm.
and they've been there. But once you get to a place where like, I just don't want any of my salespeople dealing with that. Cause I want my salespeople to sell. That's an old,
right.
You know, that's an old saying. I want my salespeople to sell, but the salesperson that knows how to do that is a better salesperson than the other one.
Correct. It can make them a better rounded person and more understanding when they do their sales and more helpful to the back end processes, mm-hmm. right? Because as we all know, problems don't start until they sell something, right?
I mean, that's it.
Once you sell something, now we're in trouble, right? Now we've got to perform. Now we've got to react to that, right?
Uh-huh. So, and the salesperson is a little whiny person going, put it in, I sold it, put it in, I sold it. And the operations people are going, no, we don't want the deal. And
you couldn't put it in. Yeah, you sold something we can't do, right? You sold something impossible.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's... You're hitting the nail on the head. You've got to let your salespeople sell. You've got to let your service people service. You've got to let your operations people operate.
Yeah, of course. Right?
I mean, you've got to let the people. And again, as a small business, that's hard because you have to do a lot of things. You have to wear a lot of hats, but you don't have to. That's the beauty of what people like myself are doing now is we're affording you the opportunity to focus on what you do best.
Mm-hmm.
When I come in and I say, hey, I can help you with your sales. I can set up the metrics. I can set up the KPIs, the key performance indicators, sure. Right? I can set up the processes.
The sales tools that help you automate it.
Exactly. Yeah, and so course. It just makes it easier for you to run your business so that when you do get ready to bring somebody on, now it's an easy onboarding process. Mm-hmm. You're not taking 6 months to show them the ropes.
I think my biggest problem as a young entrepreneur and when I started hiring people was doing a really good interview with somebody and going, I'd rather have you right here. And because I'm a pretty good salesperson, I could talk them into doing that something that they didn't want to do. And it just never worked out. So when it very rarely worked, I will say that the batting average was not Hall of Fame. Right. I'll tell you that it was bad. It'd be like me telling Tristan, our producer, like, hey, we want you to make, you know, cold calls, you know, 2 or 3 hours a week. And I'm like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. That's, you know,
it's not what he does.
It's not what he
does. But I think that was probably one of our, in hiring, every business has to deal with that at some point.
Yeah.
You know, they have to hire at least one person or, you know, they have to do something, most businesses anyways. And that was my biggest failure as a young entrepreneur was trying to talk somebody into doing something that they weren't good at.
Right.
But I needed that in my business. And what I should have done, it goes, well, we don't have that available and interviewed somebody else.
Right. You know? Well, and give a shout out here to Jim Collins in Good to Great, right? He wrote a book mm-hmm. called Good to Great. One of the things I got out of that was you've got to have the right person on the right seat mm-hmm. on the bus.
Yep.
Number one, you got to figure out if they even belong on the bus, right? Do they fit your culture and who you are and what you're trying to do? Number two, are they on the right seat, right? Because no offense, if you take Jordan and you stick her in an admin role, she's not built for admin. She's built for sales, right? She's got to be out selling and giving her operational things to do doesn't help. She's not liking the paperwork that she's filling out or doing the back end stuff and trying to get all these other things set up. She wants to be out there selling, right? She wants to be out there doing the thing that she does best. That's where she belongs. That's the seat that she belongs in is the sales seat, not the admin seat.
Yep.
So.
Yep. And I can tell people that just all the mistakes that I made because, man, if you don't make a lot of mistakes, man, you're not doing it right. I don't think. I mean, you want to lessen them a little bit, but small failures lead to success.
Absolutely.
So you got to learn that. You got to learn the ropes, but just don't quit.
Well, and that's what they tell you, right? The way to find out if somebody's successful is not the amount of times they've fallen down, but the number of times they've gotten back up, right? If you've fallen down 7, you need to get up 8. So
right.
It's just one of those things that you've got to keep getting up from all the mistakes that you make. And the only way we learn things is if we make mistakes. We don't typically learn by winning.
No. No, not at all.
Of course, don't tell that to Jordan and, you know, the Bulls in the 90s, but, you know, that's a different story.
But he went through his Hurleys against the Pistons and all that. So he didn't always win. When he got the championship, he always won. But it took him a minute to get there. I think he was in the league 10 years before they win it. So he failed too. There was he wasn't always the greatest. But right there in the middle, it was like there were other people like, he might be better than him. But when he started winning championships, they're like, and that guy's just better.
Right.
That guy's just better than everybody. And he was. And he was. Let's talk about your business. We're talking about the businesses that you service. How are you finding your customers? And what is your, you know, first A to Z or first A to C of, hey, this is what I'm going to do to help you?
So the biggest thing that I do is I help people figure out, number one, I do a business assessment. That's if I'm going to spend any time with you, I want to do a business assessment. I want to find out where you're at currently so we can do some benchmark, right? Mm-hmm. So we can figure out, kind of draw a line and say, okay, here's where we are now. So we know what the progress looks like, right? Because too often in business, people have no idea what they're doing and they have no idea the ups and downs and where they're at. So it's nice to draw a line in the sand, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So I do a full-on business assessment. And with that business assessment, I sit down with you after sitting with you for a while and understanding your business and the key players and where you're at. I basically print out a 100-plus page report with an executive summary that says, here are the top things that you could work on. And then we sit down and we go through all that. And then we say, does it make sense for us to move forward, or is this okay for you to do on your own? Now, I'll tell you, every one of those assessments I've done, we move forward with me because it only makes sense for me to help them out.
Sure.
But what I do, the first couple of things I do is I want to work on processes. I want to know what processes we can put in place because 9 times out of 10, they don't even have a process.
Mm.
They've got no idea what the process is. And so Jordan may be excellent at sales, and Jordan knows all about sales, and she can, in her mind, put together a sales process. And you have no idea how to put together a sales process because you're an okay salesperson, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. You just need some training. You need some coaching. You need some help. And so you're
experience.
So you're a C player, and I'm going to take you from a C player to a B player because I'm going to pick Jordan's mind. I'm going to pick your mind, and I'm going to put some other things together, and I'm going to show you what the process should look like. So now you can take this process and you can step forward and become a better salesperson, better at closing, better at understanding leads. We also define where they come from, right? Where do your leads come from? Mm-hmm. How are you getting them? What are you doing with them?
And that's all in the assessment.
Yeah, that's all part of the assessment.
If you were to break out the, you know, this 100-page assessment is when you do the assessment and have a 100-page report, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell me the top three things in the assessment.
The biggest thing is process. People don't have a proven and repeatable sales process.
Okay.
They just don't. And because of that, that's what's hindering most salespeople.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, most businesses today is they don't have a process that they can repeat, that they can hand over to Jordan, that they can hand over to you and say, here's the process, follow the process and you'll be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, they have no idea where their leads are coming from. And as a result, they have no idea how much the leads cost. So they're paying $1,000 for a lead that goes nowhere.
Yep.
And they're paying $3 because you know Jordan and you said, Jordan, you need to do this. And this is awesome. And she goes, yeah. And she
becomes, you're doing it, I'm doing it.
Exactly. Yeah. And she becomes a huge client. And guess what? That cost me a beer because I took you out for beers one time and we decided to do business. And all of a sudden you're telling all your friends, right? But that's an anomaly, right? That's not the norm. But where do those leads come from? How much are they costing me?
Mm-hmm.
What am I paying per click, right?
Sure.
Am I doing SEOs correctly? Am I doing the things that I need to be doing from a marketing standpoint? Now, I'm not a marketing guru. Let me just stop and say that right now. I understand certain things and I have people that I work with that I'm close with that help me to figure all those things out for you and your business. So those are the things, is processes and then it's people. And then once I start working with the people, I can start coaching them. I'm not a huge fan of a trainer being one that comes in and hey, you've got a day with this person and that's it. Good luck. Hope you do really well. I'm a coach, and a coach, it sounds just exactly like what it is. I come in and I help you on a regular basis to perform consistently so that it becomes part of who you are and what you do.
Sure. So weekly you come in and talk to them and kind of really you're looking more than anything and probably not only talking, but looking and going, hey, this is not what we talked about. This is not, you know, what we had planned.
Yeah.
Because I would feel like that's the hardest thing is changing what somebody has done for, you know, even 3 or 4 years is go, look, you got to stop that because this becomes before this, the process, right?
Yeah. And the really cool thing about what I get to do is because I'm an outsider, I'll take Jordan. I keep picking on Jordan.
That's okay.
She's just sitting here.
She's easy to pick on.
Well, but it'd be like you telling Jordan, hey, Jordan, you need to stop doing this and do this. Hey, mm-hmm. Jordan, you need to stop doing this and do this. Hey, Jordan, stop doing this and do that, right? Stop saying this. Stop saying that, right? Stop looking this direction. If I come in as an outsider, I'm perceived as an expert, number one.
Yep.
And she's going to listen to me more. She's going to listen to you.
100%.
And so, again, the advantage of me coming in and doing that is she now is going to recognize, hey, wait a minute, this guy probably knows what he's doing because this is what he does for a living. And no offense, I just don't like this guy because he's my boss and he gives me a hard time all the time and he makes me do all this admin work that I hate. Right?
Yeah, for sure.
But so that's one thing. But the other piece of it is really, I'm like a sales manager for hire. I'm a part-time sales manager for hire. Mm-hmm. So I get the ability to come in and observe. And like you said, I can kind of hover and see what's happening. I can pick up reports. I can pick up sales, you know, things that you are doing in just in conversations. And I can tell you, this is what's happening. This is what you're doing. And this is what you probably ought to be doing.
Yep.
And so because I've been in sales for so long and I've seen so many things and I've, like you, I've made so many mistakes, mm-hmm. right? I see it before, I see the train wreck before it's going to happen. And I can actually look at you and say, that's great. And it sounds like you're heading this direction, but maybe if you took a left turn here, it would help you out.
Right. I love that you say that because it's so true that I can talk to any of my salespeople and give them the way, hey, this is the way. But then they'll go to another office or something like, you know what? I should be doing this. I'm like, well, I've been telling you that for years. What are you talking about?
Tune in next week.
Yes.
As we get to hear how Chris actually is working with his.
That's right. That's it. That's it. We used to be able to do that because we had marketing companies. In my early age, I owned a company in Jacksonville. It was a marketing company, and they were all over the nation. So we'd send road trips out. And one of the biggest, you know, pros to that is the managers didn't work against each other. So we would train each other's people. It just in a different way. Personality was a little different, and they'd come back from the things like, "Yeah, I learned this and this and this." And I'm like, "All right, get out of here."
That's awesome.
You know,
yeah.
You know, so which is great.
Well, I wish I would have thought of that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I've never done that before.
Man,
that happens like with my husband. He'll give me advice, and then I'll come to work. You'll tell me something. I'm like, "Hey, Jay told me to do this," and he's like, "I've been telling you this for months."
That's it. Same thing.
Happens all the time.
Yeah. Same thing. You know, it's just you know, it's the same thing as I say, I've been doing sales for 20 plus years. And that doesn't mean that Jordan that's been doing sales for a year can't go sell somebody that I couldn't sell to. Cause I've had that happen before. I've hired a rep that went out and sold where I've been in that prospecting that person for 2 or 3 years. This person just walks in, right timing, they mesh together,
right,
whatever, and personality, yep, everything, and they go, "Yeah, I'll do it." And I just walk back in there and start laughing. I'm like, "I've been at you for 3 years." Yep. He goes, "Well, you know, I figured that I would just sign up with her." I'm like, "That's fine," or him or whatever. I'm like, "I don't care. You're with us, so we're good."
Yep.
But it's just it's funny. It's funny.
Well, and I think it goes back a lot to it's the psychology of selling, right? I mean, you get into all that kind of stuff, but it really comes back to growing up as kids, right? Who did you listen to? You respected your parents. Don't get me wrong. You more than likely you respected your parents, but boy, when the neighbor's kid, you know, when their parents said something to you, you know,
you stood tall. Yeah.
When I was growing up, corporal punishment was still available in high school and grade
me
school
too.
And that kind of stuff. Right. So we respected our teachers. We respected we respected other people around us, that we admired and we looked up to, and we listened to what they had to say. And our parents probably said the same thing over and over again, but we didn't listen as much. Right. So same concept.
It definitely is. But it's funny. Still the same. Cause you're like, "I've told you this for years," but you know, it is what it is.
It's why I encourage my kids. Hey, go talk to them. Absolutely. Go talk to them. And
well, see coaches are a big thing too. You listen to coaches and you know, that's why I think it's sad that, like, participation in sports in general have gone down, but there's more people. So it's like, you know, you were an athlete. So that built a lot of your personality in your young adult age.
Right.
And you got discipline from it too.
Yes.
And you could just get invaluable stuff that helps you in life from that.
Yeah. That's the beauty of athletics, right? I mean, athletics will teach you a ton of stuff. I mean, I got a lot of my work ethic growing up from working with my dad. He owned his own landscape company. So we were free labor.
Yeah, that's it.
I got to do that a lot during the summer.
You weren't free, per se.
Well, I paid for my room and board.
That's it.
Let me put it that way.
That's it. That's it.
Whereas most, you know, most kids don't get the opportunity to do that.
That's
right?
It.
So But yeah, and I grew up playing in high school. I played three sports. I played football, basketball, and track. Mm-hmm. And in the summers, if I wasn't working in the summers, I was playing baseball, right? Mm-hmm. So I was always trying to play athletics. I was always around that. And so there's a lot of valuable lessons that you can learn from that. Again, it's the resiliency. It's getting mm-hmm. back up again. And it teaches you a whole lot. But it also teaches you how to listen to other people, mm-hmm. right? And how to get information from other people and get input. So I've always loved the coaching piece of it, and hence why I call myself Coach Chris now, and why others call me Coach Chris. Sometimes I get, hey, what do you coach? I coach salespeople.
Coach business. I coach salespeople.
It just flows. Coach yeah. Chris. Yep. Sounds good.
I like Jordan already, man.
Yeah.
See? I always say that your best teacher as a salesperson is the field. You know, like I could sit down with my guys, and I've said this over and over. I could sit down with you for a month and teach you at this table, but you're not going to retain but X amount. But you go in the field and then you call me with a question and go, hey, I've never heard of this particular software. And I go, okay, well, and that's how I teach people. I can't tell you all the software. I can't tell you all that. You got to go out there and learn it on your own. And then you got to call me, and then we'll answer those questions. And that's how you learn. You learn right. in that experience. So, you know, the field is a better teacher than all of us.
Right. Well, and that's the difference between book learning and process learning, right? Mm-hmm. So I can learn from being involved in a process a whole lot quicker than I can from a book.
For sure.
And so, no offense, I'm not going to give you a piece of literature and go, here's the best way to do this. That usually doesn't work.
Well, it's almost like this, like sales book. I've read like hundreds of sales books.
Sure.
But they don't give you, none of the sales books give you a blueprint. It's just anecdotal. Say that word for me, please.
Anecdotal?
Yeah, anecdotal. It's that's what it is.
I was going to give it a shot.
Yeah. I couldn't say it. I couldn't think of Grey Goose today either.
That's okay.
You know? So I need to drink more water. My brain needs water. But it's not going to tell you. You can slide any book across the thing. It's not going to go, okay, if I read this book, I'm going to be successful. No, but it's going to help you, and it's going to put your mental in the right place over and over. And reading those books and then going out on the field and doing this, it puts you in a really good mental state to do it. And you're learning in multiple ways of how to be successful.
Right.
And of course you need mentors. You need people that have done that before. You need people that have done that specific industry, really, at whatever you're in. And if you can get all those pieces in place, you'll be successful.
Yeah, I think it was Eleanor Roosevelt who said, you're better to learn from other people's experiences because you don't have the time to make all the mistakes.
That's right. Yep.
So we learn a whole lot more from experiences of other people. And the books, to your point, you're right. I can read a book and that doesn't mean a thing to me until I get into the field and then I see it firsthand and I go, wait a minute, now let me go back and read that book again. Because uh-huh. now it makes so much more sense. Now it means so much more what Brian Tracy was trying to say about the sales psychology of sales and the sales process and all mm-hmm. that other stuff, right? So yeah, until you get in the field, until you experience these things, you really don't know what you're doing, right? And
that's
so
right.
you're gonna make different mistakes on the front end of not knowing, and then going in the field, seeing it, then coming back and reading it again and going, oh, okay, now I can make that mistake again the right way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're probably going to wrap up here in a minute, but what I would like for you to do is tell me how to get a hold of you. What's your business name? Coach Chris. And then, how can we help you? Who are you looking for specifically? And how can the people that are listening help you?
Sure. So you can always reach me via cell phone. And I'm going to throw that out there. Cell phone 404-944-2851. That's my cell phone. Call, text. Anyway, my website is coming. It's coachchrisconsulting.com. Coachchrisconsulting.com. It's all one word, all together. That's probably the easiest way to reach me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on LinkedIn. That's one of my biggest things that I use right now is going through LinkedIn.
Sure.
You're going to hear about this. So I'm going to tell you about it so you can think about it. I'm writing a book. It's going to be called The Red Chair Experiences. If you go onto my LinkedIn page, Chris Michelle 84, LinkedIn, you'll put Chris Michelle 84 at the end. You'll see my profile, but go and check it out. That's what I'm doing. So my ideal customer, it's really somebody who has 10, 2 to 10 salespeople.
Okay.
And they are managing sales. The owner's trying to manage the sales team, and they really shouldn't be.
Right.
Right now, the specific person that I'm looking for is, I'm looking for a young salesperson. You decide, hey, you know what? Jordan's been doing such a phenomenal job in sales. I'm going to make her my sales manager now.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan has no clue what she's doing. Okay. And no offense to Jordan.
Well, that's a learning curve.
But she's young and she's green and she knows how to sell. And you said, hey, that's a natural fit. We'll make her the sales manager. That, unfortunately, is a bad position for her because she's going to fail so many times over. It's not even funny. I'm looking to help Jordan. I'm looking to help that new sales manager who doesn't know what they're doing, who is looking to be, basically, I can help them to be the hero, right? Mm-hmm. I can help them grow exponentially, like you said, because of my experiences, I can put them in a place to succeed and do very well.
So call it an interim sales assistant, coach assistant.
Yep. Oh. It's a sales mentor, yep. Right? I mean, it really becomes, like you were talking about earlier, it becomes the sales I become a sales mentor. I'm a fractional sales manager, outsourced sales manager. I'm a sales manager for hire, part-time sales manager for hire. I'm not interested in doing this all the time for you, but I can do it for basically my engagements are about 4 hours or 8 hours a week is what I do. And I work on a contingency basis, you know, every month. It just makes sense for me to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing stuff in the background, setting up processes and that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's 4 to 8 hours a week that I spend with you, and I'm available 24/7, you know, to talk to. So those are the things, contact information, you asked for best clients, all this stuff, right? Yep. Did I miss anything?
No, I think you're good. I think you did it. I think you did. Well, congratulations on the new business. I know you're going to do well. I can tell already. And Jordan, thanks for bringing, you know, dragging him in here and doing this podcast.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Yep. She dragged me by my hair in here.
That's it. That's it. It's all out. You dragged hard. You dragged
hard. That's why I don't have hair anymore.
Yeah, there you go. Well, thank you guys. Everybody out there, be kind to each other.